You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, druids, dragons, dreadlords, dromedaries, and dryads. Welcome to Good Job Brain. It's a D&D kind of themed. Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 132, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your oodle of Moogles, Final Fantasy, who like to Google and eat strudels, noodles, and snickerdoodles.
Yeah.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Snickerdoodles twice in a row.
I think last episode.
Kugels? We also had
noodles. All quite tasty. Yeah. Strudel, all good stuff.
Frutals. That's not a word.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, it's like fruit noodles.
What?
Yeah, because zoodles are zucchini noodles.
What are you? You're just making stuff up now.
No, I'm not.
Where do you get fruit noodles?
Frutals is a thing.
Yeah, you make it out of coconut.
Huh.
Really?
Yeah, it's like low carb, you know, like you can shave like strings of coconut.
I believe you.
They're frutals. I guess you can use it. Melon? I don't know. Huh. Anyway.
Melon? I don't know.
You know.
Quick listener shout out to Ryan Colleen, who are my teammates on Mouse Adventure. They're Good Job Brain listeners. And earlier this year, they invited me to join their team of a special puzzle hunt in Disneyland.
Whoa.
And we had a lot of fun in spring.
That is so
They
right
didn't
up
know
your
who
alley.
They asked.
You know what? They're bigger trivia and puzzle and Disney nerds. I am impressed by their youth and vigor. Yes. So we just had our fall Mouse Adventure, and it's Halloween themed. It's like candy themed. Ah. So a quick shout out to Ryan Colleen. Awesome. We are the Team Dull Whippets. All right. Oh, we're a little loopy today. All right. Without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz, Hot Shot.
It's another Charmin picture.
It has a picture.
I feel like they have pictures with more frequency recently.
Well, because this card has a picture on it, we decided to scrap it. And Chris...
We always have a backup plan when the Trivial Pursuit card fails, and it's called 60s Jeopardy.
Yay!
We pulled the trivia ripcord for...
the emergency chute. It is a copy of the Jeopardy home game from the 1960s found here in a Berkeley flea market, and I have an entire Jeopardy category for you. I'm telling you, we really have to dig through this thing to find usable categories, because some of these things
are some of the things you passed by?
Oh, well, one of the categories on this sheet I'm looking at is the 50s. In December 1950, he was made the head of NATO forces.
Okay.
Things everybody would know.
Man.
At his death in 1958, Ron Calley succeeded him.
Don't know.
Man.
What's the answer? No, I'm curious.
The answers to those are...
General Westmoreland?
The first one was, what position did Dwight Eisenhower assume?
Oh.
Nice. And the second was the death of Pope Pius XII.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure it is. Here's one I think you're going to be okay with, though. The category is foreign phrases.
All right.
Okay.
For a whopping $20.
Okay.
Because this is Double Jeopardy. Meaning of the Latin reminder, tempus fugit.
Oh, what does that mean?
Time flies.
It's on our money and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Time is a fugitive.
There's a pyramid with an eyeball on the dollar, but I have no idea what that means. That's neither here nor there. Tempus fugit. Tempus.
Time.
Time.
Yeah. What is
fugit? Runs away.
Times flies.
Times flies.
Oh, I did say that. I just didn't buzz in. And I didn't say what is. I mean, there were so many ways I was wrong.
That's right.
All right, no points on the board. For $40, enthusiastic cheer that is typically Spanish. Karen.
What is ole?
What is ole? Yes, indeed.
It's like, ay caramba.
There's a lie.
For $60. How one says in French, I do not know. Karen.
What is je ne sais pas?
Je ne sais pas.
Je ne sais pas.
$80. Popular Mexican song whose name means beautiful sky.
Oh.
Popular Mexican song whose name means beautiful sky. Colin.
What is Cielo Lindo?
Cielito Lindo.
Cielito
yes.
Lindo.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there you go.
Little Sky.
And finally,
I was going to say La Cucaracha.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be. And I was like, it doesn't mean beautiful sky.
I think that means beautiful sky.
Cielito Lindo. Finally, for the big ol' $100 question, German word for the spirit of the time. Dana.
Oh.
What is Zeitgeist?
What is Zeitgeist?
Yes. That's what it means.
Spirit of the time. Yeah, it's
I thought it was a place of beer.
Time ghost.
It's a beer garden. It's a beer garden.
A beer garden.
A beer garden.
That is, of course, yes, the name of a beer garden in San Francisco. Yes, the spirit of the time. Yes, good job on 60s Jeopardy, everybody.
Thank you, Chris, for subbing in.
No problem.
All right, this week, while we're nearing a very special time of the year.
That's right.
It's going to be Halloween.
Ooh, Halloween.
Get us a theremin.
Yeah. Trick or treat, we're passing out the brain candy.
Hey, wait a minute, you don't mean this, right? Just kidding, I know it's a joke, I'm laughing, right? You're losing your head, I'm losing my head.
They do what they wanna do, say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, think if they stop a friend.
Before we do anything, I think we should talk about the origins of Halloween and where did Halloween come from and why is it called Halloween and isn't that a kind of a weird name? And let's just cover all. Sure. Let's get it all out of the way.
All Hallows Eve. That's right. All I know.
Right. Sure, sure, exactly.
It's a religious thing.
The Ian is for like evening, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it all starts with Samhain. That is Samhain.
Whoa.
Pronounced Samhain, Gaelic. Gaelic.
It doesn't
is
look
very,
like it.
It's, it yeah, it so never that. Looks like it, like yeah. it sounds.
Samhain.
Yeah, it looks like Samhain.
Samhain.
Great old Irish festival going back just to before recorded written history.
Oh.
The end of the harvest, beginning of winter festival. Mm-hmm. Let's eat all the apples. Let's not eat all the apples. But, yeah,
a lot of them.
Dumb because winter's coming up, but one last party before it gets super cold.
Before the depression hits.
And this has been celebrated around October 31st, November 1st, like the evening of October 31st on into November 1st.
So it's not a lunar thing. It's like it's those dates.
Right. Interesting. Right around there. It is old. Very old. So in addition to the, hey, let's celebrate while it's not snowing, you have the sort of very old belief, probably very like held over from old religions that right around this time, this is when the fairies or the spirits may be able to cross over from their world into our world. And maybe you're going to see them alternately. Maybe the souls of the dead would show up and come back. That sort of thing. Kind of a supernaturally kind of
the windows
vibe.
Open.
Yeah, right. This was interesting. The fairies, they called them the Ishi. That's Aossi. Again, never sounds like what it's spelled like.
Yeah.
The Ishi. And so, of course, then you have the different kinds of she or fairies.
Banshee?
So you have So you have Banshee, which just means woman spirit. Also, nerdier than that. Ketshi is the cat spirit, and that's, of course, the name of a character in Final Fantasy. Maybe you know Banshee better than Ketshi, but yes. So you might leave food out for those spirits. Centuries later, you start to see guising, as in disguising, as in dressing up as the fairies. Maybe you're trying to draw the fairies out. Maybe you're trying to disguise yourself as one of the fairies so they go away. Whatever it was. So something important kind of happened in the 700s.
Wow.
Which was the establishment of All Saints Day by the Catholic Church. They're, as we sometimes hear about the Christian church holidays, sometimes they're established or sometimes they're shifted around
to match
what people are already celebrating. Yeah. Maybe holidays from older religions. It's like, no, why don't you celebrate our holidays?
Yeah, oh, we
it's
have convenient. One that's very similar to that.
It's,
yeah.
It's rebranding, yeah. essentially.
Come on over, pagans.
So they already had a day celebrating all of the saints, all of the holy people, but it was in May, and it was in the 700s. 1800s that it was kind of shifted over to the 1st of November, and that was All Saints' Day.
Not shady, but how convenient.
It is convenient. That's why.
Your religion is old and busted.
It's good marketing. It's good marketing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some people still celebrating Samhain, some people are celebrating All Saints' Day, et cetera, et cetera. One of the traditions that kind of had also grown up around the idea of All Saints' Day was the soul cake. S-O-U-L, soul cake. Uh-huh. Little round cakes, baked goods. Can't really find a definitive statement on where the idea of the soul cakes came from, but by the time of All Saints' Day, children and, you know, beggars, you know, but might go door to door and say, hey, so it's All Saints' Day. Has anybody that you know died recently? Well, they might be in purgatory, and the way you get out of purgatory is to have, like, many people praying for you, so I will pray for your loved ones if you give me some food.
Whoa!
This was considered to be a good deal. So maybe the soul cakes were left out for the, you know, spirits, or left, you know, or the,
like,
food was left out for the spirits. But either way, they're making these cakes, so the kids go around, and now you kind of have the kids going around. Maybe they are singing songs about soul cakes, you know, like asking for them. This is actually a very, there is a soul cake song that, like, Sting covered at some point on his Christmas album.
Hmm. Whoa!
Yeah. Yeah. This grows into the idea of, you hear about this a lot. I mean, the kids going around on All Saints Day for soul cakes. And then, of course, there's We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Give us some figgy pudding. Carolers are going from house to house asking for food. St. Stephen's Day celebrated in Ireland. The kids used to go out and they'd kill a bird. They'd kill a wren and then bring it around to everybody's house. St. Stephen's Day was, I believe, the day after Christmas. It was the 26th of December. Uh-huh. They'd bring it around to the houses and they'd say,
them?
No, they'd be like, we killed this bird, give us a penny and we'll go bury him. We'll go give him a burial.
Proper bird burial.
Shame if something happened to your bird.
Right. They don't actually kill a real bird anymore. But you have these traditions of just going house to house and asking for things, and not like it's either you're begging or you're a child. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's some implied bargain there. Some exchange of something or other.
Right. And so they're going souling for soul cakes. This kind of gets folded back into Samhain. You know, everything is sort of influencing each other. People are still celebrating Samhain, but now maybe you're dressing up as a ghost and going to people's houses
asking for cakes.
You know, in Mexico, they had a similar thing, Day of the Dead, but that wasn't always October 31st, November 1st, November 2nd, but then that gets kind of shifted over too. They give them little candy skulls now, right?
Yep,
Calaveritas, little...
Yep.
Where a lot of the macabre imagery really came from, that tradition, right?
Yeah, the skeletons.
Right, exactly. That's the idea of the dead coming back to say hi on that day. Right. You can see how you can get to a more formalized kind of, like, giving kids treats as they dress up. It was really after World War II in America, you know, because these traditions had been kind of brought over by certain immigrant communities that didn't really take hold, but it was like, following World War II in America, sugar rations, and that's kind of when, like, the marketing really kicks in of, you know, buying candies and stuff like that by the 40s, 50s in America, it was pretty solidified.
I didn't went trick-or-treating until I was, like, 18.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
we got candy. It was
That's
old.
I'm pretty charming, you guys. Yeah. I can ask for it.
I charm my pants.
I'm not doubting that you got candy. I'm just saying that's kind of old.
The name Halloween comes from All Saints' Day, was also called All Hallows' Day, a hallow being something that is holy, possibly a person or an object or something like that. All Saints' Day.
Deathly
All
Hallows'
Day. Right, exactly.
That makes sense.
It always
so
comes back
sense.
To Harry Potter. And interestingly enough, sometimes, including in certain Shakespeare plays, All Saints Day, All Hallows Day, they would call it Hallowmas.
Like Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah, the Mass for, right.
The Mass for the hallowed things. Right, Hallowmas. And so you have Christmas and Christmas Eve, and you have Hallowmas and Hallowmas Eve, or All Hallows Eve. And then eventually, probably through the Scottish language, it kind of went from Hallows Eve to Halloween, the Eve being
evening.
Evening, exactly.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, once you get a little bit too old to go trick-or-treating, or possibly not, maybe you do both of these at the same time, Halloween becomes about horror movies and super scary stuff. At least it did for me growing up.
No, thank you.
Not oh,
your
no.
thing.
I will read the plot on Wikipedia.
I like that you do that. Yeah, so yeah.
Like, I want to know what happens, but
it keeps you a safe distance.
I can't stomach the suspense and the gore and all that stuff.
So I have a quiz for you guys about sort of the classic 70s, 80s era of the revival of slasher movies and horror films.
Oh man.
So
we might be a goose egg for this.
I think you guys will do pretty well on this one. These are all certified classics in the genre.
Okay.
All right. So get your buzzers ready.
All right.
And we'll see how much you allowed yourself to be scared as you were growing up. Released on October 25th, 1978. This horror film is widely credited with jumpstarting the slasher genre of the 70s and 80s. Whoa. Chris.
Friday the 13th.
No.
Oh. Halloween?
It was
that
Halloween.
That was what I was...
Yeah!
You didn't even buzz it.
I did.
Wait, no, you didn't.
Yeah. Yes, the sort of the release date was a little bit of a clue there. Yes, that's right, Halloween. And
starring Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, a very young Jamie Lee Curtis, yes, with Michael Myers, the scary killer, running around. Yeah, I mean, all of that really was sort of what made Hollywood be like, oh, there's a lot of money to be made in these, you know, kind of scary, gory, low budget. Right. That's right.
Don't
that's
need
right.
that much lighting equipment.
No.
It's dark.
No lighting, yes.
In the movie Halloween, the character Michael Myers disguises himself by wearing a latex mask of what famous actor known for his role in a legendary sci-fi TV series?
Wow.
Can't be William
William Shatner.
It is William Shatner!
What?
Yes, yes. I've seen this movie probably a dozen times, and I never knew this until researching.
It's not a good mask.
It was not a great mask. Yeah, when they were searching around, and this has been verified, when they were searching around trying to find like a creepy mask to have him wear when he's running around with sort of the dead eyes, they had a latex mask that was made in the 60s. It was a Captain Kirk mask.
Uh-huh.
It was a rather poor Captain Kirk mask.
Wow.
And did they have to go through licensing?
So,
you know,
it was funny. They didn't have to go through licensing. They just happened to have it around. They got their hands on it for the movie. They didn't officially request it or clear it in any way. But when it down the road, years later, when they needed, you know, repros of this, they were looking around like, what is this? And they called the original mask manufacturers and kind of gave them the stock number. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a Captain Kirk mask. Yes.
Like, it does not look like Captain
Wow.
Kirk.
Yep. Yeah, I will never think of
does
Captain
William
Kirk
Shatner get like a credit, you know, or
he doesn't I think that in later in later editions of the movies there may be a note there, but no, he doesn't get any royalty or anything for that, if that's what you're asking. No.
Huh.
In the movie Friday the 13th, and I would say that's sort of the second in the run of the slasher genre here, in the movie Friday the 13th, what was the name of the killer? Karen.
Jason.
Incorrect. Chris.
Jason's mom.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mrs. Jason.
Mrs. Voorhees.
Okay. Wait,
yes.
What?
Yeah, this is a great pseudo trick question. Mm. That's right. A lot of people forget that in the original Friday the 13th, all the killings that we saw were done by Jason's mother.
Right.
She had been sort of driven mad by his negligent death at Camp Crystal Lake years earlier. She did all the killings in Friday the 13th.
Now, who's wearing the mask?
So let's move on to the next question. Oh. After the first movie, Jason did, in fact, become the primary villain and killer antagonist slasher. In which installment of the Friday the 13th franchise did Jason first don the iconic hockey goalie mask?
Oh.
Dana.
The third one.
It was the third one.
Lucky number three. When in doubt.
Just a guess.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was not. So his Friday the 13th part two, yes, Jason, no hockey mask.
Huh.
Which is, you know, I mean, it's so closely
iconic.
Yeah, I mean, it's even transcended just that movie. Like, hockey mask now means, oh, serial killer, slasher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In addition to bringing us Freddy Krueger.
Uh-huh.
The movie Nightmare on Elm Street marked the feature film debut of this teen heartthrob. Dana.
Johnny Depp.
It was Johnny Depp.
Oh.
Yes, yes. Not one of his finest acting performances, but I don't think that's what those movies were necessarily about.
Yeah. No.
Yes, yes. He was one of the many teens
who...
He did die.
Those movies were so scary.
And there's, you know, as many people have pointed out, there's sort of this running morality comment in a lot of these. Like, it's always the teens who have sex who die.
Right,
or all
right.
the rebel yeah. teens. You know, they'll throw in some of the good teens occasionally, too. This 1987 horror movie features sadomasochistic antagonists known as the Cenobites.
Oh, what was that again? Read it again.
This 1987 horror movie mm-hmm. features sadomasochistic antagonists known as the Cenobites. The leader of the Cenobites has grid-like cuts and pins on his head. Karen.
Hellraiser.
That is Hellraiser. Yeah. Pinhead. Yeah.
Is he human?
They're supposed to be like
body art?
They're humanoid. Their race is like they've moved so far into the realms of pleasure and pain that they've had to modify their bodies and yes.
Now they just torture people
it's to show them the extremes of sensation. Yes.
Do they kill the people? Yeah. Do the people die?
People die.
Well, I guess they saw the extreme. They can't do anything with that information.
That was, of course, directed by Clive Barker. Okay. I didn't know this. It was based on a novella that he had written, actually. All the movies come out of a mythology that he wrote. Yeah. Interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, when you read it, it sounds more like sci-fi than it does horror.
Yeah.
It's like
an advanced race that are here to teach you a thing. It's yeah, really, exactly. They're just
the
here to kill you.
Senses, yeah.
No. Yeah.
All right, last one. Director Sam Raimi's original Evil Dead trilogy includes Evil Dead.
Yes.
Evil Dead 2, and this third movie in the trilogy from 1992. Chris.
Army of Darkness.
That is Army of Darkness. Yes. Which occasionally in some markets was billed as
Evil Dead 3:
Army of Darkness. But the official American release was just Army of Darkness.
Interesting.
Yes. Featuring, of course, Ash.
Who's Ash? Bruce Campbell.
The character. Yeah, Bruce Campbell. All right. Good job, guys. You guys acquitted yourselves pretty well.
So, guys, it's Halloween. I have a quick question here. How do you kill a vampire?
Oh, I've heard
many ways.
Stake through the heart. Exposure to the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yep. Sun. Yep.
I've heard there's one like where you have to remove their heart from the body, right? To make sure they're really dead.
There are a couple like
decapitation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put them in running water, like in
holy
river.
Holy water.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, just any water? Yeah. Or
they can't cross running water.
Oh, right. And the silver bullets, that's different, right?
That's werewolves.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Also, vampires, garlic.
Garlic.
Know, back then, in the olden times, when to ensure corpse don't become vampire, they would stick a clove of garlic in the mouth.
Okay.
Silver bullet is for the werewolf.
Right.
You can also kill a werewolf by just killing them.
But they're just super strong.
So yeah,
all you gotta do is pop them with a silver bullet.
Yeah, they're not gonna raise from the dead. Whereas vampires is more of a living corpse.
Mm.
So all of these things that we talk about to kill or to ward off monsters is a type of magic or it's under the realm of apotropaic.
Hmm. Okay.
Uh-huh. Apotropaic, Greek meaning to ward off, apo away. Tropaean, to turn.
Mm.
And this is type of objects, ways, rituals to turn away harm or evil.
Ward off.
Yeah. They're specific things for monsters, like silver bullet for werewolves and garlic cross, holy water, all that stuff for vampires. I understand holy water. That makes sense.
Right.
Cross
sure.
makes sense. Decapitation, stake through the heart. Sure.
Yeah. But garlic that'd kill anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Garlic is so weird.
Right, yeah.
Mm. Why? It's like...
It's like, do they just not like garlic?
Does it just stink
on their,
so yeah, much?
Right, yeah.
I'm not going to say all this research is scientific.
Sure.
They're theories.
You didn't actually find any vampires.
Yeah, this is all hypothetical. Kind of finding out the origin of how did garlic come into play. Obviously, there are many kind of proto-vampires or different cultures have some sort of vampiric entity, but in terms of popular culture, what we know as a vampire, thanks to Bram Stoker's Dracula. Hmm. That book established a lot of the tropes, the kind of archetypal vampire-y stuff. And it is mentioned in the book that garlic was used to as like a something to ward off vampires. However, the reputation of garlic as a vampire repellent dates back in many cultures. And it's like so weird. What is up with garlic? The thing is, garlic has long been associated with health and life. Mm. I think a lot of different cultures, like I know from Asian culture, you eat garlic pills.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And because of the smell or of the oil, it's used to heal a lot of wounds. And this is the greatest theory. Vampirism can be seen as a kind of analogy or symbol of mosquito bites.
What?
Because it's drawn your blood.
Uh-huh.
Garlic is a known herbal cure for relieving mosquito bites. So you rub it on your bite and it doesn't, it's a natural repellent and it doesn't itch.
I haven't tried that.
And so, you smell like garlic.
Right.
There are other better.
I mean, more than I normally do. Yeah, exactly. Sure, yeah.
So
I mean,
there are.
Above my baseline.
Yeah. Sure.
Parallelism between mosquito drawing blood, vampire drawing blood, that's also a theory. So, you know, those are some reasons why it's not entirely random that it's garlic.
Okay.
And similar to garlic, another Halloween activity is kind of stemmed from people's belief of a certain fruit or vegetable, and that is apple bobbing.
Oh.
Why is apple bobbing such a big deal? Why do people do it? It's so weird.
It's not even that fun.
It's not. It's hard.
Yeah.
That was one of those things as a kid. I would see it and I was like, oh, that looks like so much fun. I want to do that. And the first time you do it, you're like, wait, so I'm dipping my head in a bucket of drool-filled water.
Yeah.
I'm trying to take a bite at something that somebody took an unsuccessful bite at before me.
It's an apple tons of candy.
Win an apple.
Best case scenario.
The other 364 days out of the year, my parents just try to get me to eat apples, and I don't.
That's the win
case.
Because
I'd rather have candy.
It's a weird tradition. It doesn't seem like it has anything to do with ghosts or ghouls or the dead or monsters. And
The harvest.
Mm-hmm. So it is related to the harvest. Nowadays, Colin, you see, obviously, it's very unsanitary to do massive apple bobbing.
Quite obviously, yes.
So they do the string. They tie the apple onto string.
Right.
And then they tie your hands in the back, and you try to it.
Bite the apple.
Like a chicken, basically. Pecking at it.
Why apple bobbing? Like garlic. The apple symbolizes a lot of awesome things, fertility, love, and it's like, well, how did that kind of blend into Halloween? It was a Celtic belief that when you cut an apple in a certain way, because of the seeds, it kind of looks like a pentagram, right?
Okay.
Because
right.
There's like five seeds.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
And it's thought that, you know, the symbol meant that the apple somehow has magical powers and can determine love and marriages. From this belief came the game of bobbing for apples. And it's kind of like throwing a bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
Like if young unmarried couple tries to bite the apple and successful in floating water, then that means they can get married. There are a lot of practices where, like, girls would keep the apples under their under their pillow.
Gross.
That's worse. Yep.
There's another one where you take a knife and you're peeling the apple from the top in one giant string.
That's like a county fair thing. Yeah.
But that symbolizes like you know
if you're gonna make it or not.
Love, like a whole connection of love. It doesn't break. And so there are a lot of weird apple things, and this is where the bobbing for apple, the game, came to be. And obviously with the end of harvest and celebrating that, then the children came to bob for apples, and there you go.
I wonder if kids would still want to do it if you're like, oh, it's for matchmaking. And they're like, ew, I don't
gross.
Want
yeah, gross. Yeah. Girls are gross. Boys are gross.
A gross activity got grosser.
Yeah.
So I love Halloween. I love it. I love the costumes and the candies and the decorations. And I really love the Halloween episodes of TV shows. Oh. Everybody always has like a punny name. They go way out of their way. Like you see their costumes is fun.
Yeah.
Like Halloween is
yeah.
a
And some
big
shows
pop
really
event.
Stepped it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like if you think about Food Network, they dedicate like weeks of Halloween special programming.
Food Network Challenge Halloween is so good.
Halloween.
I didn't even know about that, but it makes so much sense.
Cake contest.
Everybody gets it. It's a theme everybody gets behind and like goes for. I'll read you the title of the episode and you tell me what show. And there's a clue in the title. Puns or characters from the show.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
And, or well-known ones. For instance, if I said the Treehouse of Horror.
The Simpsons.
But you're not going to say that.
I mean, that's the thorough, you know, you guys know the answer.
That's the probably
are we playing
one of
trivia
the ones
are we playing trivia?
Really
yeah.
cemented the special seasonal
yeah.
Halloween
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
How about the one with the Halloween party? Everybody.
Friends.
How about Ghost of Clampett Castle?
Oh,
the Beverly Hillbillies.
That's right.
Oh, is that where they lived?
Well, the Clampett.
The Clampett family.
Oh, okay.
The Curse of the Cramdens.
The honeymoon.
Sorry. You keep saying Chris and you keep answering. Well,
oh, I thought that was an altogether one.
Right.
Only one person buzzed.
I thought it was all together. Okay. Chris buzzed.
Anyway.
How about It's the Great Pumpkin, Sam Winchester? Karen?
Supernatural.
That's right.
Yeah. Whoa. The Winchester brothers.
Halloween night, but night is spelled with K-N-I-G-H-T. Chris?
I have no idea.
Why'd you buzz?
I thought
he
I was going to figure it out, but he says yes.
Knight Rider?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Thinking some medieval show.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I was like, I can't.
Game of Thrones?
No.
Every episode is a Halloween episode.
Yeah. How
about this? Bungholio, Lord of the Harvest. Lord of the Harvest, a.k.a. Buttoween. Everybody.
Beavis and Butthead.
Yes. How about this? Everybody hates Halloween.
Chris. Sorry,
Karen.
You did it. You can do it.
Chris is fast on the buzzer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Everybody hates Chris.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was going to be everybody.
I was
going to
say
Raymond.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was a teenage tailor.
Oh, Chris. Is this Home Improvement?
Yes.
Okay.
They were the Taylor family.
Yeah, the Taylor. Oh, okay.
T-A-Y. Like... I was like, I can't figure it out if it's T-A-I, but if it's T-A-Y, I can figure it out.
Nice.
Halloween. Halloween.
Colin. King of the Hill?
Yes. The Ghost of the General Lee. Everybody.
The Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes. It's the Gay Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
It's the Gay Pumpkin.
Karen.
Queer as Folk.
No. Colin.
Will and Grace?
Yes. What is Blue afraid of?
Oh.
It's just Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues.
You're my boy, Blue.
Steve-el 2. This time he's not alone.
Steve-el? Steve-el 2. This time he's not alone.
Jackass?
No.
Oh, that's a good guess. Like Steve-o.
Yeah.
No. It is Family Matters. Steve Urkel.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most
hard
famous
to narrow it down.
TV Steves.
Yeah.
Bar Wars 5, The Final Judgment.
Oh.
Chris.
Cheers.
Introduction to Statistics. Chris.
Community.
Yes. The Good Guy Fluctuation. Colin.
That must be Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory, yes.
Oh, I see.
Tina and the Real Ghost. Karen.
30 Rock.
No.
Whoa.
Family Ties?
Nope.
Chris. Bob's Burgers.
Oh.
So many Tinas.
Yeah. Cliff's Mistake.
Cliff's.
The Cosby Show?
Cosby Show.
Oh,
Cliff's. Yes.
I was thinking Cheers. Yes. I was like, we already
cheers
had Cheers.
Yeah, Cheers.
Petergeist. Everyone.
Family Guy.
Yes. Employee Transfer. Karen.
The Office?
The Office.
Oh, good one.
Lord Zedd's Monster Heads.
Lord Zedd.
Karen.
Doctor Who?
No.
Lord Zedd.
I don't know.
A Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Oh, yep.
God.
I definitely saw that.
Yeah.
Okay. I've watched that episode.
Yeah. Korn's Groovy Pirate Ghost Mystery.
Korn?
That is South Park.
South Park.
It's Korn the Band.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, K-O-O.
Yes,
okay,
sorry.
Okay.
And last one, Fonselectomy.
Chris. Happy days.
Happy days.
Fonselectomy.
Like Fonzie.
And like, having a tonsillectomy.
Yeah.
On Halloween. Maybe he can't.
Oh, I thought of another sectomy, but okay.
Oh, Fonzie's vasectomy.
That's what I was like.
Halloween episode.
I was going to do it
tonight on a very special episode of Happy Days.
Hey.
Like, my first job is vasectomy, not tonsillectomy. So I was like,
hey, I want to impregnate you on Halloween.
Sit on it. Oh, wait. No, no.
Please get off.
Cool. Good job, you guys.
And let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
And we're back. You're listening to Good Job Brain, and this week we're talking about Halloween.
If you guys are like me, you had your share of bad Halloween costumes as a kid. Some years I was like lucky enough to have a grown-up help me, you know, and I would have like a really awesome, I was an awesome vampire one year.
Oh, yeah.
My mom spent a lot of time, I had this cool cape, and we got the makeup and the teeth. And there were other years, though, like I remember quite specifically years where it was more like when I had my E.T. costume.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a store-bought, off-the-shelf E.T. costume.
So that you're E.T., you're not Elliot. Yep.
I was E.T.
Like
right?
A hospital gown plastic. This kind is of like thing that wrapped around you.
1982,
yeah.
You know?
Height of E.T. mania.
And as a way of introducing the rest of the story, I would like to play for you a short clip from The Simpsons, a Treehouse of Horror episode.
Check it out, Lisa. I'm Radioactive Man.
I don't think the real Radioactive Man wears a plastic smock with a picture of himself on it.
He would on Halloween.
Yes.
Your ET costume is ET on a shirt?
The writers had exactly the same experience I did. Yep. Yes, it was the mask was decent enough. It was a decent enough mask of ET. It looked like ET's face. But the rest of the costume was essentially, it was an apron with a picture of ET on it. And, you know, even as like a little kid, I felt like I was getting ripped off. I'm like, I'm not dressing up as E.T. This is more like I'm a walking tribute to E.T.
Right.
I'm an E.T. fan.
Yeah. And the masks, again, if you know what I'm talking about, these were the most uncomfortable. They had the tiniest, tiniest little eye slits.
Yeah. They're made out of plastic that you would ordinarily use in that configuration for a picnic knife. the edges of it would
sharp.
Cut you up.
They were sharp, and they had these weird little nose slits as well.
Slits so basically everybody, if you're dressed up as He-Man, you look like E.T. If you were dressed up as Barbie, you look like E.T. Because you had these like Voldemort snake nose slit things in the mask.
The
rubber, the piece of, not even just the, like a proper like strap, but a piece of rubber band.
It was stapled
to the plastic.
The stapled by your face.
Yeah, this brittle rubber band that you'd put over and it would just pop right off.
I remember
it was useless. useless.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't be the only kid where the thing, it wasn't useless. It would just get shorter and shorter and shorter because break and he'd staple it back. Would it be a little bit tighter that time, you know? Yeah. So and eventually it's just like pulling against your face.
Now it's really cutting into your skin. By the end of the night, the mask is off. The smock strings are falling off. And it's not even a long night. It's like 2 hours later. You're just dragging this thing around town.
I totally see why your smock had a picture of E.T. Like, I was Smurfette, and so it looked like a dress. It didn't look like, it didn't have a picture of Smurf, but E.T.'s naked, so it would look like a little kid, like that's dressed in a naked costume, which is weird.
Right, which is interesting, but it is interesting when you think about it, the idea of the sort of, the sort of connotative versus denotative, it is E.T. versus the image. It's not so much you want to look like E.T., but you want to profess your love for E.T.
I did want to look like E.T.
Yeah.
And,
I don't think that they could have made it look right.
Oh, who are you dressed as, little boy? I'm a shrine to E.T. I'm a collection of some impressions. Yeah. Right. I'm an homage.
Yeah. I am the zeitgeist. I am the feeling of the culture of 1982.
Yeah, I am a pastiche of E.T.-related moments.
I wish you said that.
If you're like me, if you were a child of the 70s or 80s, and even into the early 90s, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is like the decent to crappy decent mask, and then the picture of the character on the smock.
Yep. Yeah.
All of these costumes were made by one company.
Whoa.
All of these costumes.
Wait, these mask
with the smock type costume were all made by the Ben Cooper Costume Company.
Man, Ben Cooper.
And the Ben Cooper name was, for decades, the name in costumes.
Right.
And this is the story of a man who just saw an awesome opportunity to become the leading figure in his costume king. Yeah, he was. The company's a lot older than I thought. I mean, they peaked, I think, in the 70s, 80s for sure, but they went back to the 30s. Ben Cooper himself is from New York, and he had a fairly regular start in professional costuming for, like, showbiz. He ended up making costumes for chorus girls, and he would outfit places like the Cotton Club, or he had a contract with the Ziegfeld Follies at one point.
Oh, wow. So he really – it's not – he's just a businessman. And a grand idea. He actually is in the trade.
That's right. That's right. And this was, you know, starting out in the 1920s. And, you know, as Chris alluded to earlier, like trick-or-treating as like a phenomenon, especially in America, really didn't start in earnest until like right around World War II and thereafter. But in the 1930s, Ben Cooper saw this was starting to become really popular. He noticed that there was an opportunity here for costumes for kids to go door to door. And specifically, all the stories I read about Ben Cooper, they all make the point of what made him so savvy was he recognized the opportunity for licensed costumes.
Mm. Sure.
Because anyone can make a ghost, anyone can make a vampire or a werewolf. Mm. So this is, you know, this is the 30s.
If he licensed it, that is very early.
That's
very,
right.
Very, very early in terms of licensed merchandise.
1937.
Mm-hmm. What was the first
He obtained the rights to, would you guys care to guess? What would have been a big costume for 1937?
No.
Disney? Mickey Mouse?
Is it Mickey Mouse?
He obtained the rights to Walt Disney characters and his Snow White costume.
Oh, sure.
Sold like anything that sells a lot. And he kept this on. Anytime there was something that he thought that could be licensed as a character, he was all over it. Like well into the 40s, into the 50s.
Wow.
And as trick-or-treating, it was kind of this like feedback. Like a lot of people give him credit for helping make trick-or-treating a thing because now kids mm-hmm. could latch onto their favorite pop culture character. He sold tons of Superman costumes. He sold tons of Davy Crockett costumes.
A whole ecology, right? You have the Halloween aspect, strengthening trick-or-treating, and then strengthening the marketing and loyalty between kids and media.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then he's the middleman, makes all this money.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And he's where all the money flows to.
Yep. And it should be pointed out that for a lot of this time, he didn't have any real competition. I mean, he was just, there was nobody trying to get into horning on his business. As far back as the 50s, the Ben Cooper Company had made a generic kind of horror-y costume that they called the Spider-Man costume. Okay. And so this was in the 50s.
Okay.
Just, spider.
Yes, a spidery man. Right, sure. Exactly. Sure. Yes. So in the early 1960s, he got wind that Marvel Comics had created this new character called, of course, Spider-Man, and it was very popular. And they approached Marvel. So Ben Cooper was kind of like, you know, partly I want to avoid a lawsuit, and partly I sense another great marketing idea.
His marketing sense was tingling.
This was that's great. That's it. This was Marvel Comics' first merchandising deal.
Oh,
wow.
Their first merchandising deal was for Ben Cooper to make costumes of specifically Spider-Man and then also Incredible Hulk and Thor, other characters.
Is this still the same, the mask and the character?
The mask and the smock, right. This one, the Spider-Man smock actually made an attempt to look like the Spider-Man costume. Yeah. I will give them credit. It wasn't quite as conceptual as some of the other ones. On into the 70s, he got the license for Star Wars. And so I remember a lot of these in particular growing up is the smock of like the face within the picture on the smock. Like there's a Yoda. There's a really bad Yoda costume from the 80s where it's a decent enough Yoda mask, but then the body of the costume is all green with a picture of Yoda's face. And then the Empire Strikes Back logo. Again, I know Yoda has a weird body, but it strikes me as supremely half-assed. Yeah. But they were selling so many of these costumes, it doesn't matter. My favorite bad one that I found, though, was of the Fonz when Happy Days was big. I want to show you guys a picture of this one just because to describe it won't do it justice.
That's the Yoda one? Oh, my God.
That's so scary.
Ding dong, I'm Yoda. With a picture of myself on my shirt.
We all know why.
Wow, Yoda's quite the narcissist. The Fonz costume was a Fonzie mask and then a smock with a picture of the Fonz saying, hey, the Fonz.
In case you
really, at this point, still didn't know who you were looking at. I mean, the Fonz is wearing a pin on his jacket that says Happy Days.
He has his thumbs up.
It's like the masks themselves were so low detail that, I mean, Yoda, you could probably figure out what Yoda is, but the Fonz mask, I mean, that looks like could be anybody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to have the smock with the picture of the Fonz
to
let people know that you are the Fonz.
I feel like you could probably make the clothing part yourself. Like, just put a white t-shirt on
and
some
leather jacket.
People who are, like, actually, like, making costumes, it's like, once you get to that point, like, you don't have to go out and buy the 995 Ben Cooper costume.
It's funny you mentioned the Richard Nixon mask, Karen. Like, they made... When they started making presidential masks, those became another huge seller for them. Like the bank robber that is a Ben Cooper mask. That classic bank robber Richard Nixon mask that was originally a Ben Cooper mask. Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah, what happened to it?
So sadly, you know, partly what happened was competition. You know, it was only so long before other companies started realizing, you know, there's a lot of money to be made here in costumes. And particularly where Ben Cooper started to feel the pressure was on the high end was there were a lot of companies making these elaborate molded, you know, latex, really high quality masks. In the 90s, they declared bankruptcy and they got bought by Rubies, which is now sort of the big name in and they make adult costumes. They make kids costumes. They bought out
stuff.
I've ordered stuff from Rubies as well for my Star Wars related costuming. they bought out what was left.
But that's not for Halloween.
Yeah.
That's for
every day.
Yeah. I decided I wanted to see a naked Yoda. And I've said too much.
Did they ever show Yoda like topless? No, he's always in a robe. No, I'm serious.
Okay, no, I don't think so. Okay.
I don't think they ever showed him topless. Yeah.
I'm going to take this seriously.
I forgot he wears a robe, like in my mind.
Yeah, that's all.
He's naked
him.
Like E.T.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Just wrinkly and green.
And fuzzy, green and furry.
Yeah, very similar. He's not furry. He has hair.
He has strands of hair.
Yeah, he has white hair.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe him as furry.
Well, have you seen below the robe?
No.
You don't
know. No, yeah, exactly.
Does the
curtain
match the ears?
So if you have fond or not fond memories of these crappy smock costumes like myself and Milhouse, thank Ben Cooper.
Oh, you know what? I have...
What?
I have done trick-or-treating, but I just don't remember because I was really, really young. I was like a toddler.
Uh-huh.
And I posted this picture before. There's a picture of
my sister, who is a lot older and is going to trick-or-treating, I think my mom just decided by... They had the mask plus smock Pac-Man costume. I think... I don't know if it was knockoff Pac-Man, but it didn't look like Pac-Man.
That one's so problematic. Yeah, because it's like... Is the face like the Pac-Man ghost. From the side? Oh, okay.
I think the face is the ghost and it has like a weird killer clown smile. Anyways, my mom just bought two of them and made me dress... And I was a toddler.
Yeah. So and you were a little Pac-Man.
I was a little... But my mask was upside down. They had to because like, I was a child. I don't know. It was weird. It was weird. And the smock was like a game screen from Pac-Man that says Pac-Man just in case. And we have one last segment. Chris, you got a quizzy quiz. Yeah?
No, just a regular quiz.
Stop.
Just stop it. Just finish the show. According to the National Retail Federation, the most popular Halloween costumes for 2014 are projected to be Princess.
Oh.
Well, Elsa.
Olaf, yes, right?
Yeah,
as well.
So basically they lumped them all together. 2.6 million kids each say that they will be either a character from Frozen or what other franchise?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
No.
What other franchise?
Mentioned earlier on the show.
Oh, I was going to guess
Star Wars.
Avengers.
Star Wars is certainly big.
Perennially popular.
Smurfs? No.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Really? Of course. Yeah. Spider-Man's always up there.
So running down the projected most popular costumes list, you have Princess, you have Animal. They just lump all animals into one, right? Just a generic animal costume. And then three and four basically tied for third, Frozen and Spider-Man. But yes, when you're a tricker, when you're passing out candy this year, expect to see like most little girls just dressed up as Elsa. Yep.
We were in Golden Gate Park last week for a picnic and they were having some sort of Halloween themed event there.
Yeah.
And it literally every little girl that we saw there was Elsa. I mean, we didn't ask every girl, but they were all wearing like the little blue dress and it was like, yeah.
Or a smock with a picture of Elsa.
Yeah.
Hey! Elsa!
Yeah.
Two thumbs up.
Frozen.
That, Karen, there is a Disney Run costume for you.
Oh,
Ben Cooper Disney costume.
Yes.
Just
That's
a
so
plastic
meta.
Frozen mask and a smock that says Elsa.
So sweaty.
In a leather jacket.
Yeah. Right, a leather jacket. Yep.
I would love to see different mashups. Yeah. I'm the Fonz Elsa. Different Elsa. Like, I'm E.T. Elsa.
Yep. So here's just some more random bits of trivia from the latest Halloween survey. About what percentage of Americans say that they are going to dress up for Halloween this year? Karen.
66.
Wow, you are actually correct. It is about 67%.
Oh my god! Concerns. I just thought it was funny because 666.
Oh.
Halloween. No. That was
There you go. You nailed it.
Two thirds.
Yeah, with Halloween falling on a Friday this year, National Retail Federation expects a record number. In fact, they expect a record amount of money to be spent on Halloween this year. Hmm. The top three websites that Americans say that they are going to consult for inspiration for their Halloween costumes are Facebook, Twitter, and what?
Pinterest.
It is Pinterest.
Are we just totally ignoring the rules?
I thought she buzzed in, too.
You didn't let him finish reading the question.
Both
I was trying to wait, because I knew it was Pinterest.
It is, in fact, Pinterest, which is heading right up the list. It was not. It was 11% of people who said that they're going to be consulting things.
Yeah.
And they're going to get inspiration from Pinterest.
Well, my running costumes on Pinterest get... Mad hits.
Yep.
I bet. It's funny. I love looking at the list of like Pinterest versus real life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think your costumes are Pinterest. not real life.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nice. Okay, yep.
Yeah.
Nice. And we will finish out with this. Pumpkin, hot dog, and devil are expected to be for 2014 the top costumes in what particular category? Karen.
Pets.
Pets.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I thought you were going to say sexy.
Most people.
I said pumpkin. Sexy adult.
Hot dog.
Sexy, I mean, pumpkin.
Sexy devil.
I am sure. Well, okay. Yeah. I'm sure there's sexy devil. I don't know.
There is sexy hot dog.
Okay. There's sexy mustard for sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's sexy mustard.
I remember that one from last year. I remember the sexy mustard.
But yes, making the list of top pet costumes this year is Star Wars characters.
Oh, yeah.
They've been selling it for a while.
Yeah.
Very smart.
All right, and that is our Halloween episode. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening. Hope you learn a lot of stuff about Halloween, about the really fascinating costume hero and costume grandfather, I guess.
Yeah.
Halloween slasher movies, Halloween TV, and different traditions and the origin of Halloween. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and also on our website, goodjobbrain.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Linda, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.